Welcome back to Who's Talking. Following the bottom of the hour break, this is Jim Hobgood alongside Frank Maloney. We're going to be joined momentarily by head lacrosse coach Dom Starcia. But before we do that, we're going to let Frank give you a little background on the Virginia head coach.
My pleasure and quite an honor. We're very excited in a few moments to be bringing Coach Starcia on the phone. He's been the UVA head lacrosse coach since July of 1992. Believe it or not, this is his 18th season in Charlottesville, following 10 stellar seasons at Brown University, his alma mater. He's won 202 games at UVA, lost only 65 contests. Overall, his teams at UVA and Brown have won a total of 303 games to date. He's got the Wahoos to the NCAA tournament 16 times. They've won 5 ACC championships. He's managed to get the Wahoos to 11 Final Fours, and they've won 3 NCAA titles. Most astounding thing, I think, in considering all the lacrosse I've seen over the last 30-some years, he coached the 2006 NCAA champion Cavaliers to a perfect 17-0 record, perhaps the best season in modern NCAA lacrosse history. That team was a juggernaut and probably can be mentioned as the best team of all time in modern lacrosse history. Without further ado, Coach Starcia, are you there?
I am, Frank. That's an awfully nice introduction. Thank you very much.
Hobo made me cut it back. I wanted to go into a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, it was really long, Coach. We weren't going to have any time to ask you questions.
Tell Hobo to leave you alone, Frank.
Anyhow, let's get on with the show here, as they say. The number 2 ranked Wahoos are currently 3-0 to open the season. Do you think your team is developing the way you had hoped, considering this time in the schedule?
Yeah, I do think there was still a bit of a work in progress, especially the offensive end of the field, but we all expected that coming in because we happen to be so young there. But I think we've gotten better in each of our first 3 games, and you know, the question for the weekend will be whether or not we're ready for a game like this against Syracuse. But I can tell you that we're all excited about it, and you know, feel like it comes at a good time. And you know, this is the kind of game where you'll really get a chance to test your mettle. And we may have been able to hide some deficiency these past couple of weeks. You know, these are the kind of things that a team like Syracuse can expose. So we're going to find out a little bit more about ourselves come Sunday. And again, you know, we'll find out if we're ready. But I think we're definitely going to be ready to play, and we're certainly going to be excited to play.
Well, speaking of ready, do you think Klockner Stadium is going to be ready?
I do think Klockner will be ready. We actually walked up there yesterday, and it's actually green and firm. And as late as last Thursday, we were up there with the team putting tarps out over the field. We actually borrowed the tarps from the baseball field, laid them out over Klockner. There was still 4 inches of snow on it, but the nice weather late last week, you know, we were able to clear it out and stuff. So I think we're going to be good, unless we get something else here. In the middle of this week, I think we're going to be good to go on Sunday. And actually, the forecast for the weekend is spectacular for early March, you know, mid-50s and sunny. And if we get that, then I think we have a chance to have a really nice crowd and have a really good day.
Yeah, Coach, I was going to ask you about that. You know, football oftentimes starts in warm weather and finishes in cold weather. You guys start in cold weather and end up Memorial Day weekend in sometimes very hot weather. And as you say, it may be favorable this weekend. But how does that impact the team or coaching if the weather changes so dramatically during the season?
I think it works better for us in the sense that, you know, we sort of come in and, you know, it's a little bit of an ordeal sometimes in January and February. You know, you're getting all the sweats out and everything else. And then the weather just gradually gets nicer and nicer. And then hopefully if you're still playing in the month of May, you have some great weather as you head to the most important part of your season. So I like the way that unfolds in our sport. You know, frankly, you know, I've been doing this for quite a while now, and it's supposed to be cold and nasty in January and February. So, you know, we're out there today. It snowed the whole time we were out in practice, and that's just not that big a deal. I actually told the kids it was a great day for practice. I like it when it's kind of cool and drizzly. I think it's easier to get their attention on a day like today, and we actually had a very spirited practice, but I would have expected that certainly going into a game like this.
Coach, on attack, let's break down the offense a little bit. You've had to replace a couple of tremendous players in Gladding, Billings, and Gill. You've got Steele Stanwyck and Chris Bocklet looking good. Who else is going to help those guys on the offensive end of the field?
Well, I think that, you know, we're very new at the attack, and it's a position I have always built our teams from the attack first. And even in the case of Steele, who's only a sophomore and our veteran coming back, you know, he's playing a completely new position this year than he did a year ago. So even for him, there's a learning curve involved here. Chris Bocklet's our other starter, and Chris didn't really play a lot last year, even though, you know, I had a sense that he wasn't going to play like a new player this year. And then we've been bouncing a couple of freshmen at the other spot, Connor English and Matt White, Nick O'Reilly a little bit. And so, of our first four or five attackmen, we've got two second years and two or three first years. And so we are just very, very young there. And I thought on Saturday against Stony Brook, we looked a little young on the attack at times. And in each of these first three games, we have left some goals out there on the field that we're going to need to cash in on as the season goes on. I've always said that I expect us to be a better lacrosse team offensively in the second half of the season, you know, and we're going to, I hope that will be the case. I think we're moving in the right direction, but at times we do look very young, and I'm not used to looking out there and all of a sudden not having Danny Gladding and Garrett Billings and Ben Rubier and some guys like that to turn to. They've got some awfully young new faces out there.
Coach, Syracuse, as well as Virginia, is kind of a storied program in college lacrosse. How good are they this year, and what does Virginia have to do to be successful against them on Sunday?
Well, Syracuse is also, you know, going through a bit of an adjustment. They had a big graduation. You know, they won their last two national championships, and their senior class last year was a special group. And so, frankly, in this game, I think you got two teams offensively in particular that are still developing. And so I don't think this game is likely to be quite as high scoring as it's been in recent years. But Syracuse has also got that, you know, that sort of big game moxie, and they have that swagger, and they're certainly going to come in here, you know, expecting to have the game go to do it their way, and then they certainly have a sense that they're going to be one of the teams that's going to be standing at the end of the season, as do we. You know, you think in the case of both of these programs that year in and year out that you start out playing in September with fall lacrosse, thinking that you have a shot to be playing at the end, and the luxury of this game for both these teams is that one of these two teams is going to lose on Sunday, and yet I don't think it'll change the goals for either team a great deal. You know, we've beaten Syracuse the last 2 years in a regular season game, and they've gone on to win the championship. And so I'm not wishing the other on us right now. Coaches are very myopic, and all I can see is one game ahead, and I'd like us to play our best lacrosse on Sunday.
As well you should. Your midfield to me looks very strong again with Brian Carroll and Mikey Thompson here from Richmond, and the Brattons, Max Pomper and Haldy and Hughley, and LaPierre looks like a beast.
LaPierre is a freight train on the loose. I haven't seen a young athlete like that in some time. And he also has got, he's got uncommon poise for a first-year player. When he's on the field, he just expects to make plays. And we just can't, the first game against Drexel, I think he probably played more minutes than anybody did. And we're just looking for opportunities to put him out there. You're right, though, originally in the sense that we, for as young as we are at the attack, we have the experience and the athleticism in the midfield. And we're going to need to, assert ourselves from the midfield while this young attack sort of gets their feet on the ground. But scoring just from the midfield is like outside shooting in basketball. If you're gonna live by that sword once in a while, but you're gonna die by that sword also. You need to score easy baskets. You need to get those goals close to the goal, and so we need our attack to continue to develop if we're going to be the offensive lacrosse team that we want to be over the course of the season.
Yeah, what we call in basketball high percentage shots.
About it.
LaPierre, that sounds like a hockey guy. You know, I mean, a nice French Canadian name.
He would be the biggest hockey guy you ever saw.
Coach, Bratton's leg injury, is that a major concern or something that should be a minor issue?
I don't think it's a major concern for as we think about the entire season. He's got a hamstring strain. He's played a little bit. Limited role the last couple games. He probably only played about half against Stony Brook. It may affect him, though, this coming weekend. I can't tell you exactly what Schimmel is going to be able to do for us on on Sunday, the same way that Mikey Thompson is just getting over a hamstring, and we had to hold him out the first two games. I mean, he didn't play at all against Mount St. Mary's or Drexel, and saw his first minutes against Stony Brook. So these hamstrings, especially at this time of year, you know, are just a little bit iffy, and we don't want to make a decision now that's going to affect us long term. So if we need to take a little extra time, we're going to try to be a little bit more cautious right now. But Shamel really wants to play, and frankly, I'll be surprised if we can't get him out there in some capacity.
Well, that's good to hear. Defense. You lost Mike Timms, who seemed to be one of the most terrific long stick defenders in the country. Of course, you've got Ken Clausen, the All-American back, and Ryan Nazinelik, and your goalie, Gittleman. To me, he looks terrific. I mean, against Stony Brook, he made some amazing saves.
Well, we wound up, Adam, threw him in the goal, in the starting goal the first day of his freshman year, and, it's a little bit of a trial by fire. I don't think there's a position that, sees the difference in play as much as a goalie does, and Adam has played very well for us for 2 years, but his play has also been a little bit up and down, but we expect him to be able to reap the benefits of all that experience this year, and I know that he expects that of himself, and so I would tell you that the Stony Brook game was probably one of Adam's finest games since he's been here at UVA, and we expect him to be our leader at the defensive end of the field, so I certainly feel like that's going to be a strength for us. You're right. You lose a Mike Timms, you lose a Matt Kelly, graduated off last year's team, a couple of terrific players, but we do have a lot of experience at the defensive end of the field, and it's almost the same thing as I said about the midfield. We have gone into the season thinking that we need to play good defense while this young offense gets their feet on the ground against a very good Stony Brook offense. I thought we did play very well at the defensive end of the field, and we're going to need the same kind of effort on Sunday.
Yeah, we're visiting with UVA head lacrosse coach Dom Starsha. And, Coach, I think Frank in a moment wants to ask you what newcomers might break through. But I just wanted to ask you a question about, the ACC. There are four teams at the moment that play lacrosse in the ACC, and I think you've talked about this before. Any chance that another ACC school or two might ever get into lacrosse? I know there's been some effort to encourage Virginia Tech maybe to get into it.
Tech to me seems like the perfect school to have men's lacrosse. A presence in the spring, in that corridor between sort of Central Virginia and Boston. That's a program that could be nationally competitive right away in a sport like ours. There's a lot of reasons. Access to those Northern Virginia high schools where they play a lot of lacrosse in the state of Virginia. A lot of good reasons for Virginia Tech to have men's lacrosse. So the issue, though, is now it's a little bit more of the economy, the way things are. There's also, though, a Title IX question, a gender equity question. If you have a big-time football program on your campus, you're never quite gender equitable. And it's just so hard to add 40 men to your department roster when you're not equitable to start with. And so I hate to be a pessimist, but I'm just not an optimist about the growth of the game for the schools that are seem perfectly suited for it. A lot of those big Division I schools, and so we're blessed to have four programs in the ACC. I would tell you that the four ACC programs this year may be the four best teams in the country. So it's amazingly competitive, even though there's only four of us. But I don't see any growth on the near horizon.
Coach, our last question for you tonight. What newcomers on the team do you think could be breakthrough candidates or potential stars?
Well, I think this LaPierre, his nickname is Shocker, and so that whole Shaka LaPierre thing goes pretty nicely, he's a special player, I think. And then those young attackmen are going to have to play for us. So, keep your eye out for Connor English and Matt White on the attack. We really need one of those guys to emerge for us. We have a long stick by the name of Harry Priebus, that has already played a lot of minutes for us, and I think is going to be able to going to play for us as the season goes on. So I think it's a nice class, and one of the things about if you have a program in which you expect to compete every year, then you don't have too many freshmen usually that jump right into your lineup, and we've got some really nice kids in the class that I think are going to come on, some guys that are really going to help us. But I do think, in particular, keep your eye out for Chris LaPierre.
Well, we've really enjoyed having you on the show tonight. Hopefully, maybe in late April, we can bring you back so you can give us sort of an update on how the season has gone and maybe some build-up prior to the NCAAs. But, Coach Starsha, as we said when we opened, it's been a pleasure and an honor, and we hope you'll come back soon.
Thanks very much. You can have me back. I'll come back anytime.
Coach, thanks. This is Jim. Thank you so much, and good luck Sunday and throughout the whole season.
Thanks very much. Okay, fellas.
Take care.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to move quickly for a few minutes and talk about the basketball program. The Cavaliers lost a tough one down at Miami, I thought. I think that was a very good chance for Virginia to break this streak that they've been on. Looking at you know, the games coming up, Boston College is coming up on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Huge game, Jimbo.
Well, when you're on a losing streak, you know, the first thing Virginia needs to do, Frank, is figure out a way to compete. You're right. In the Miami game, at least in the first half, the game was competitive, largely thanks to the performance of Sylvan Landisberg. He kind of kept them in the game. But then in the second half, Miami broke it out a little bit, and it ended up not being as close as Virginia fans would have liked. And then the Duke game, you know, my description of the Duke game was sad. You know, it's just, you know, you have a great crowd. You have a great crowd. The team just got off to a terrible start. Duke is a very good basketball team, and without Landisberg, Virginia just doesn't have enough weapons at this point in time, and I don't think anybody really understands exactly what's going on with Mike Scott. Two consecutive games where he doesn't score. He's too good a player for that, so hopefully they can correct some things and go up to Boston College, and ideally you want to win the game, but first of all, you got to compete.
You know, watching the team in the last 2 weeks, a couple of small nuggets that give me a little bit of hope here. And hopefully for the Wahoo fans, number one, Jerome, number 55, is playing much better than I think anyone could have expected. He put up 21 points, and he might have had a double-double. Did he have 10 rebounds?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
Sene did get a
he got 10 rebounds,
10
right.
rebounds, and showed some poise, except his dribbling is not quite.
Well, yeah, you know, you like big guys to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible. You know, Hassan is really limited on the offensive end. I don't know if that's something he can improve in the offseason. He still has 2 years of eligibility. Jerome, a senior, you really are happy for him just simply because he's worked really hard, did not get a chance to play very much prior to this year. He's been the top academic guy on the basketball team ever since he's been there. His parents are both college professors. He's been Dean's List every semester at the University of Virginia. So just a terrific class act who's a great representative of the university and the basketball program. So happy for him that he had such a great game on Sunday night.
Well, we have to hope that Sylvan's thigh bruise is better because without Sylvan, I don't think they can win these games. They've got to have his 15 to 20 points. I think Scott got down maybe because Sylvan wasn't there, and maybe Scott's legs are shot. He's fought so much in the middle against all these big centers and power forwards, and I don't think he's built for that.
Well, that's Pete Gillen's old line, tired legs. I don't know if that's true or not. The other thing Sylvan does, in addition to scoring himself, is he draws the defense and gives better looks at the basket for the other guys on the floor. So they always say a great player makes the players around him look better and play better, and he certainly does that. So you're right. Without Sylvan, Virginia has almost no chance at all.
Well, Virginia's got to find a way to get him back in the lineup, and hopefully the therapies this week and the rehab has helped him. So,
well, they have great medical people in Charlottesville, so if there's a way, they're certainly going to get it done.
Well, we're going to head to break here. This is our last break of the evening. We're going to come back and cover the winter sports updates and the spring report.
And talk about next week.
And we're looking forward to next week, which we have a lot of exciting news about next week.
Back in a few.